just finished off the Nintendo booth availability, or whatever you want to call it. They call it a tour, but we didn't get toured. We got led to a booth, a kiosk, and then we played a bunch of games on it.
The tour came to us.
Yeah. We went on tour. So, basically, we played Smash again, because Mike and I have already talked about it. We played Starlink. Johnny played that. He's sitting right to my immediate left.
Correct.
This is not stereo. I should have recorded it in stereo so people could hear where we're sitting. And we played Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu.
Yes, I think it's Let's.
Let's. So, let's talk Smash first, because we all played some Smash. Really, all the video, well, most of our gameplay session is in video form and will be posted at some point in the very near future. But we just kind of tooled around with the new characters. I'm new, all the air quotes in the world you want to put on that.
Well, so. Ridley and Inkling are the two new in this demo.
And then we played with Snake and Ice Climbers.
Yeah, it's a number of returning favorites that were not in the last game. So yeah. It's a pretty good mix. Some of them, you know, there's Bayonetta and Cloud, some DLC characters from Wii U and 3DS.
The
stages are also quite a smorgasbord from across the series.
Yeah, I had actually never used Cloud, so I felt pretty good about how he felt. So that was exciting for me personally. But the game itself, we talked about it. This feels like Smash for Wii U.
Yeah, it doesn't feel noticeably different than the last Smash Brothers. I was kind of expecting maybe they might go back towards the melee pace of combat, but it doesn't seem really that different. Maybe there'll be settings for it. You could play like melee style or something, but you know, and there's not a lot of options for, you know, like we couldn't even play stock in the demo. It's pretty limited, but that's to be expected with E3.
Yeah, I mean, the demo, so how they've got it set up in their booth right now is you book time to play Smash or you get in this long, absurdist line that it basically means it is the only thing you will play this day. And it just, like, you get 4 minutes, maybe, total.
Oh, I didn't even realize that they were giving the option of standing in line to play.
There's a big, dumb line out in front of their booth that seems bigger than the line just to get. But maybe that's it. Maybe when they're open, that's what the line looks like. Because that line was huge.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's probably what it is, because we all did it during press time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yuck. But yeah, I mean, you play that game for 2 minutes and then you're done, and that's sort of the demo. So
it's more than 2 minutes.
People will probably come away disappointed just because it's Smash. Like it, you know, there's new characters, but like it feels just like the Smash you already know. So like, I don't know if I would feel that great about waiting all day to play that for 2 minutes.
And even a lot of the assets are reused, like the character models. Like a lot of them have been cleaned up or they got new costumes. But I mean, these are the same costumes for the most part. But, you know, Link and Zelda look different, but
yeah, they've made a number of tweaks.
Yeah, but Pikachu looks mostly the same, and Bowser looks mostly the same.
There's not that much you can do with Pikachu, except they added Girl Pikachu with a heart-shaped tail.
They did do that. Yeah. So we all live in a world now where we can tell what our Pikachus are by their tails.
I read that I don't know, my sense was that's already a thing, and they're just reflecting it in Smash Bros.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's already
X-Y or something.
Yeah.
I'm not a Pokemon expert by any means.
No. So I don't know how much we want to talk about Smash.
Well, you played Ridley.
I did.
I played Inkling. I did not get a great feel for Inkling in the time that I had.
So yeah, we talked about this earlier. Inkling is a little convoluted to play because
quick for sure.
Quick, not as quick as like Fox, but quick.
Yeah.
And I didn't really figure out how to use like the hiding powers.
I actually spent most of my match trying to learn how to do that, and no one seemed to know the controls to do that.
I'm pretty sure it was blocking down was how I did it when I played
it. Did not work for me.
Okay, but like I said, I can't remember. I fumbled into it when I did it. I was like, oh, okay, that's the command.
Yeah.
Because there's not every character is in the E3 demo, but a lot of them are, and so it's hard to see how everybody does stuff, and there's no like big. A lot of these games will have like a big guide on how to play this game, but for the Smash, like, what are you gonna do? Because a lot of these characters feel very different, and so it wouldn't be easy to just write a one size fits all control guide.
The returning characters that I played were, I would say, modest tweaks of what's come before. Like Samus, you know, has been in every Smash Brothers, and it's one of my favorite characters to play. And this is probably the first really major change they've made to her since Melee, at least, because now you can charge her shot in the air, which I've always wanted to be able to do. You could always shoot it, the charge shot, but you couldn't actually start charging it in air, and I tend to play a lot of aerial with Samus, so I think that's going to make that character flow a lot differently, and, you know, it seems like there's some downsides they added as well, but...
Yeah, you'd have to balance it, but, like, I mean, I did a little bit with, I'm trying to remember who I played with now. I did a little bit with Bayonetta, and Bayo feels like Bayo. Like, it was just, you know, Bayo's a character they could have afforded to make some tweaks to, because she's pretty...
And they might still.
Yeah, and maybe they did, and I'm just not perceptive enough to pick them up, but she still felt like one half click too fast for everyone's good, including the player who's playing.
We played on Spirit Train.
We did.
That's a 3DS stage that's now in HD. It looks really good.
I
was very pleased with the graphic upgrade they did for that one. We did Saffron City, which I think hasn't been seen since in 64.
Yeah.
So that was the original Earthbound level.
Yeah, that was fun.
Saffron City is Pokemon.
It's Pokemon.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because Porygon comes out of the...
I was going to say,
Pokemon come out.
It doesn't make sense, because I got totally smashed by Porygon. Out of the closet, like, peekaboo.
Hi.
You're dead.
Yeah. I think that one... It had been so long since we'd played that stage, even though Porygon's in the thumbnail, that, like, I think three of us went down that first time it popped out.
Yeah, I was not expecting that to happen. It was pretty funny.
It's like, oh, yeah, that's how this game used to do stage hazards. But, yeah, I mean... It be Smash.
Yeah. Oh, and we did the Inkling level, Moray Towers. I like that stage. It's not very it's not very wide.
Nope.
But it's very vertical, and it's all connected because the platforms, you know, zigzag back and forth two or three times, and so there's a lot. If you have a character like Snake with remote mines, you know, or some, if you have a character who can drop things around, there's a lot of surface area to do it, and in the heat of action, you're sort of jumping up and falling down the platforms pretty quickly to get away or to go chase someone, and so it's very easy to run into that stuff and not see it coming. So I enjoyed that one quite a bit. That is also one of my favorite levels in Splatoon 2.
The mortar with Snake would be particularly effective because it would go through the walls.
Mm. Did you find, Mike, I know you played Snake, right?
No, I didn't.
I did.
Oh, okay, you did. Did you find that he felt any different?
It's been so long since I've played with Snake, it's hard to say.
His final Smash looked a little different.
We didn't get it off.
I saw one. There was a cursor, and he kind of
aimed at some targets. That's the air ride thing. That was the air ride sled.
Yeah, that's just an item.
Okay, it looked different to me because a lot of guided missiles came after people.
Oh, well.
So I think that was Snake's final Smash.
I was the only person who played a Snake, though, so I didn't get it.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. But
great video here.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on in a short time. It's Smash Brothers, so it's total chaos.
And also on the train is just, it's chaos. All the stages in the demo, that's probably the most chaotic. Because the train is shifting in and out.
And it's not very big either.
No.
The 3DS levels tend to be on the smaller side.
Which is good, because that forces all of the stupidity into like a really tight space. And in fact, that one will get to the point where the only thing...
is the engine.
Yeah, and it's basically like three characters wide worth of space. Mm-hmm. And everything else is just death.
Yeah.
And it's just everything is exploding in that one little area.
We didn't try it, but they also had New Pork City on there. So they've got everything from the smallest stages to the largest stages.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be great.
It feels good. I mean, it feels exactly like the Wii U game, but obviously there's a lot more in it.
Yeah, so. It's an all new engine and all that stuff. They did a great job moving it over.
Looks good. But yeah, no huge surprises in terms of how it plays, how it feels.
No.
Nothing like that. The menu is pretty much the same. You do choose the stage first, which I like, because then you can choose a character that suits that stage rather than getting screwed on, oh, I picked Donkey Kong and it's an auto-scrolling or something, you know, and it's like... So I think that's very smart.
That's all part of the metagame, though.
Yeah. I would love for stock to be default.
No.
Instead of time.
Because that's not the right way to play the game. Next, you're going to want items to go away. So
no,
yeah,
I'm all about stock and
items. That's the creeping disease.
In fact, I like the special flag, so you can even get an extra stock.
I want that game to just, like, if you die 35 times, I want that to be possible.
Yeah.
I want to see death.
I agree. You just have to get 32 special flags to make that.
No, I want to see death. I don't want that to like quiet down as there are less characters on screen. I want the chaos to continue.
Is that your experience, that it gets calmer as there are fewer players?
But it gets,
that's not my experience.
It gets more tense, but it gets less. There's less just
chaos.
Less chaotic.
Yeah,
that's fair. Well, sure.
That's what I want. I want the screen to be on fire all of the time. If you could just have an item that just makes the bombs rain constantly, I don't mean like once every Tuesday. I mean just. From the sky.
It's called the item menu.
Too bad Bomberman isn't playable, because that could be his final smash. He just turns it into sudden death during the match.
It'd be awesome, and I would love it.
I do love seeing Bomberman in Smash, though. That's really cool.
Yeah, I do wish he was playable, because that would have been a fun one.
Simon Belmont seems very likely, I think. I know Snake's already in there, but Castlevania's never really been represented.
Yeah.
He was in Dream Mix TV Fighters back in the early 2000s.
Which is the standard.
No, that was probably late 90s.
It's the NXT of Smash.
But that's where Snake came from. So I wouldn't discount.
Yeah, that's where Snake came
also,
from.
Also, Castlevania Judgment exists.
Oh, good. We can get the Castlevania Judgment.
The man
Judgment
who made
art.
It is here today. I think we're going to go see it in a couple
as
hours.
As designed by the individuals who made a bunch of really bad anime. Great. So,
want to go on to another game we played?
Yeah, that was about to transition out. So, let's talk some Starlink. So, Johnny, you played, so I'm going to go ahead and defer to you on this one.
Starlink, I did not know much about before I picked up the controller. I just watched a couple videos from yesterday, and I knew the R-Wing was in there. So, of course, I picked the R-Wing. There were a few different pilots you could choose, and I guess they have different powers or attributes or something. I was surprised at the density of the loadout screen, the customization stuff you can do, moving weapons, and you can change out wings on the different ships. There were quite a few things. We didn't get to mess with the Toys to Life part of it, where you're building your own custom ship, but even within the game, just on the software side, there's a lot you can do. And once I had all that set up with the R-Wing, it launched me into orbit around a planet, and I was looking around. You know, the demo guy was like, your objective's down on the planet, go down there. And I was like, hang on, I need to take a survey of the sky here. There was some kind of strange anomaly not too far away. I could see some capital ships, frigates off in the distance, like kind of a little bit hard to see, you know, but there's some stuff. It looks like it's at least like a full solar system to fly around and go check things out. There's a hyperdrive you can kick in to get you across large distances faster. You can't really use that once you enter the atmosphere. Eventually I pointed down to the surface and kicked on the engines and went on down there. And, you know, it's not as physics-y as No Man's Sky, but similar kind of feeling of, you know, going from space down through the upper atmosphere and then right on down to the surface, and it's all continuous. It doesn't take that long, but it's just it's a nice feeling to think that when you're playing around on the surface of a planet, you're kind of still in the entire space environment, right? So the planet is a subset of the space environment rather than like a completely different thing that's loading in and out, and you know, they're continuous, which is just a great feeling when you're in a spaceship. The idea that you can go up and down whenever you want, you can fly anywhere else on the planet. I pulled up the map, and it's a sphere of the planet, and the map fills in as you fly around and check things out, so you can actually, like, if this is my first time on the planet, I could trace the pathway as I made my way from one objective to another, and I guess you could explore the whole planet. It looks like it from the auto map.
Yeah, it looks like there are like waypoints, and not waypoints. There are landmarks to discover and the like. It was popping up things like, oh, you discovered this, you discovered that.
Well, those were enemies he was killing for the most part.
Some of that was. I don't think all of it was.
Okay.
There's definitely a lot of features down there. There were a lot of crystal structures. It was kind of an icy planet, but then there were other environments as well. The ship controls down there are a little surprising because I would say it does control similarly to No Man's Sky. It's fairly simple, but you do have full 3D, you know, 6 degrees of freedom six, maybe just three. I didn't see a lot of rolling and yawing, but maybe 3 degrees of freedom. You can control the engines up and down, and it's a very much an open world kind of flying thing. You know, it's not like Star Fox. It's not even like, it doesn't even feel like all range where there's this kind of big area that you're fenced in and you can go do stuff within here, but it's like the whole planet is available to you and you can fly around and do things, and if you're having trouble with this thing, it seems like you can just go do a different objective somewhere else.
The objectives look like they were primarily take down enemies, but maybe that's just for the demo.
Yeah, at least so that we've seen so far. But you you load out different weapons on each wing, and you shoot them with ZL and ZR. And once you get into a combat situation, at least for me, there were a couple that it kind of forced me to land, sort of. But it didn't really land. It's just you cut the engines, and now you're just sort of skating in your ship over the surface of the planet.
Right.
And it feels a little bit more like the Landmaster in Star Fox, and it controls kind of like that, too.
That's what it looked like. I mean, it looked like you were on a Landmaster.
Yeah, and you have independent control of your movement and your look, aim, and yeah, you're shooting. You know, you're shooting your weapons. Some of them charge up. Some of them home, etc. The combat was pretty challenging. I was having a little trouble aiming, I would have liked to have tweaked it, inverted my y-axis and stuff like that. I chopped some of that up to it. When you're on the ground, yeah, you can jump, you can dodge, you can jump and then dodge, or jump and then boost and kind of fly around a little bit and get around. I fought a boss that looked kind of like a Monster Hunter sort of, or bigger than that, really.
It looked like the enemies from Star Fox Zero, the big hulking things.
Okay, yeah. It had like rock armor plates on it, and then before certain attacks, like, it would raise an arm up, and if I shot it, like, its armpit would glow red, and if I shot it there...
It's mine does.
I had a few second window there, and if I shot it there, then it would be stunned, and this weak point would open up on the front where I could really do a lot of damage. But there were a lot of smaller enemies coming around the irritating thing I found about the combat is that at least in that particular battle, I kept getting knocked over, and I would have to hit B to recover. So the ship would just get flipped or turned on its side, and as I was trying to skate around, strafe, you know, keep moving, keep getting different angles, all the smaller enemies all over the place were kind of constantly in the way, so I would knock into them, and then that would make me tumble more, so I was having kind of a hard time maintaining, like, full control and situational awareness, but it's a very 3D game, and I did verify that in the middle of the fight, you can just sort of kick the engines back on and run away and go fly elsewhere. That Starlink is like, when they showed the Toys to Life thing, I thought, well, you know, this is probably going to be fairly simplistic, and that seems like the main draw, but having actually played it now, I mean, so there's some real meat to that game.
Yeah, I mean, most of the Toys to Life games tend to be skewed younger. This one doesn't seem to be going that angle.
Right.
It's more, you know, techies or science fiction fan type stuff, so it seems to be targeting an older audience.
Yeah, so the one thing that we did observe, though, is that when Johnny would lose a ship, it wasn't like, oh, okay, down one life. It was, go ahead and launch your next ship.
Right.
And all the construction stuff we talked about, if you actually have the ship installed, it's like a replacement for the Joy-Con grip, where the Joy-Cons connect in, where you just build your ship out of, like, Lego-style pieces out of it, and it detects what configuration you have. We saw that it was like, oh, go ahead and build your next ship, was the command it gave. Now, he just went into the pause menu where there were ships that had been pre-assembled. I wonder if the act of unlocking that hardware comes from the act of buying said toys to give you more ships to build.
That would pretty much equal buying extra lives.
Yeah, effectively. Now, they're different ships, though, and that's how you could justify it.
Fair, yeah. I don't know. My guess would be that the mount, if you're using that ship mount controller and building a ship modularly onto it, that would be yet a different ship than the ones that we saw in the game.
Right? Okay.
So maybe that would be like your fifth. We had four in this demo, so maybe that would be, you know, the plus one ship. Maybe you could get one extra life from that, but you wouldn't depend on it for all of them. But yeah, it wasn't a big deal. Like when my ship got blown up, I would just hit pause and switch to a different one and keep on going. You can also pause and change the weapons loadout and the wings and things like that.
Yeah, they did say you don't have to have the Toy Slash stuff going, but there is that question of like how nefarious would they dare be? How dark will they go? And the answer, and we don't really know because Ubisoft's never really gotten into this stuff before.
I have a lot of questions about Starlink after having played it.
Yeah,
but that's quite a bit more interest than I had yesterday.
Yep.
You know, like having actually played it, this is a game I would definitely like to know more about.
So if you've been hearing all the noises, we set up in the locker space because it was quiet when we got here, but it has changed.
Yeah.
But it's E3. What are you going to do?
Like, it's part of the experience.
Like, there is noise. Welcome to
E3. Yeah.
This is as quiet as this place gets.
Still one of the quietest spots in the
This is the quietest
show.
Place in the building right now, probably.
Yeah, probably.
But we'll trek on because we played Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu Edition specifically, not Let's Go Eevee. Although I'm remiss to know what the differences are besides the obvious. So I mostly played that. Everybody got a chance to at least handle the what do they call it? The Pokeball?
Pokeball Plus.
Pokeball Plus, which is awful as a name. As a product, it's weirdly effective. So This is a thinned down Pokemon game. I mean, it's Pokemon Go. It's Pokemon Go applied to the exploration of a Pokemon game. Like, the combat's Pokemon Go-esque, which it's pretty similar to regular Pokemon. It's probably closer to regular Pokemon than Pokemon Go does. But, like, catching Pokemon is 100% Pokemon Go. You don't fight wild. You can use bait, and you have a little timing minigame where you throw the Pokeball and you can screw it up and just miss the Pokeball altogether.
Yes, that's what I did.
It is Pokemon Go. The character interaction is more based in the regular Pokemon world, but you can tell how thinned down this is. Like, there's no just wild Pokemon in the grass. They're out there visible. You can see them, which again is a Pokemon Go thing. You know where the wild Pokemon are. You go there and you engage with them.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like you are playing a game about playing this game that is about playing the original game.
Yeah, there's some weird mixture of nostalgia and modern stuff. I mean, the visuals themselves look quite nice. I mean, they're not like amazing, but you know, they're
I thought they looked nicer
in person than
like, I thought. Like, trainer models looked like up-res GameCube stuff, though. Like the faces and like they're really, really basic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the character style. I mean, that is the art style.
Yeah, I think they could have put a little more detail in. It looked very flat.
I'm not saying it's like high budget type stuff. Yeah. But it looks better than the screenshots of the video I saw online.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna make $1 billion though. They could have put a little more effort in.
Yeah.
I mean,
but then they have like old fashioned animations during the battles. It's like Pikachu does like a scratch attack, and the animation is just like a little hop.
And you see the claw strike go across, or it was a double kick, and you just saw a foot show up twice over the enemy, and it was super effective.
I thought across the board, Pokemon Let's Go seems like a nostalgia play.
Oh yeah, totally.
It's like for people who played the old games back in the late 90s,
and
now they have their own kids, and they want to be able to play what they remember more or less, but with their kids, and it seems like it's really leveraged on that. Like when you catch a Pokemon with the Pokeball Plus controller, you can hold it up to your ear and you can hear it make its sound, which is the old Game Boy. Crappy.
It makes the click and then it makes the noise.
Yeah, and it makes the little crappy digital kind of sound. Yeah, that's charming. I mean, it's bad, but it's charmingly bad.
Yeah,
you know. So like, I get it. I felt like if they, you know, the new, like, core Pokemon game next year, if they're still doing that kind of stuff, that's a problem. But this feels like a way to get all of that out of their system.
Pokemon Sun and Moon. Sun and Moon? Yeah. Those were already nostalgia plays. They're like, okay, we're going to have all these old Pokemon back with Aloha. I mean, this is almost masturbatory in some ways. It's like, you're really pushing this to a point that's maybe too far, but like it's this weird mix of like Pokemon Go when it came out was super nostalgia driven. Like it's a bad game. I don't understand the appeal of it.
I think Pokemon Go is just like too simplistic to really be all that interesting.
Yeah.
And Let's Go seems like
it's a little step beyond that,
right? Like there's a little more to
because
it than Pokemon Go.
You have character progression as a group. And that's where it comes in.
And you can play it two-player, you know, which makes sense with Switch, and sure. I think that makes sense with Pokemon.
Yeah, it's so my takeaway is that, like, it's meta in a weird way that, like, Pokemon the trading card game is meta. Because it's a game about a game that's an abstraction of another game that they have then folded back into the original game's mechanics. It's really odd, and the fact this franchise has done this twice now is actually kind of upsetting. But
yeah, just go play Pokemon Coliseum then.
There you go.
XD Gale of Darkness.
XD Gale, where it's edgy.
Oh man, so edgy that you can't catch Pokemon because, or no, you can, but only the ones that have been like possessed by the dark energy.
Yeah, possessed by the devil.
Because they're sick, and you're really not catching them. You're just remediating them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't throw Pokeballs at them. You just cleanse them. And then they join your team.
Now we're talking about
because you can take them from other trainers.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, oh, right. You can steal Pokemon that way, right. Which is good.
You can take them from the bad trainers.
But you know, I think what you've seen of that game. So all we had is we got to walk around Viridian Forest and fight bugs. But what you've seen of the trailers of that game tells you exactly what it is. Like it is one of the most one-to-one trailer to playing it experiences I've had in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Pokeball Plus is a more interesting conversation point because there's a lot of stuff in that thing. You can absolutely play that game one-handed, which is not a great thing to say.
It's
you can do it.
Design. I mean, I don't know how you would play it two-handed.
No, I know. But it's like, why do I need to play this game one-handed? Well, you know.
Yeah.
Do you? But it's two buttons. One button launches the menu, and the other button does everything else.
And we weren't even allowed to use the menu.
Don't hit the menu button.
In this demo.
Don't hit the menu button.
But yeah, like the main, like confirm button is clicking in the joystick, which I don't love.
Which is the eye of the Pokeball.
Ooh, yeah. I don't love that.
And that that joystick / eye thing is really shallow. So the joystick doesn't have a lot of play in it. And that could be good and it could be bad.
It's about like a Vita stick.
It reminds me of almost like the nub on like the 3DS on the right stick for the...
Oh, it's not that bad, but no. It's
better than that. Closest thing I've seen is the Vita joysticks, which are like really short throw. Like it's more than a circle pad. Like there is some height to it, so like you can feel the extension of it, but it doesn't go very far.
Right. And so I found it also felt kind of tight as well. And so like I was having some issues with it a little bit, but... Like, it works. They did it.
Interesting thing I saw from when you were playing it, Mike, is that you got the Pokeball misoriented.
Yeah.
Like, you have to hold it so that the white part is kind of in the palm of your hand, the red is up towards your knuckles.
Right,
I guess.
The point is that if you hold it, it doesn't. Right, because it's analog sticks.
Yeah, because
if you hold it the wrong way, up is not going to be up.
But that thing is like a sphere, right? And the only, like, protrusion, the only, like, really notable feature on it is. It's supposed to be in the center. No, it's the joystick that's in centered under your thumb. So you could very easily spin the whole thing off axis.
Yeah, it's,
and then up isn't up anymore.
It's a scenario that you've never run into with the game.
There's no grip on the bottom to tell you where to hold it.
Right. You've never run into that with a gamepad before because gamepads are built around the shape of your hands. This thing is just a sphere. I don't know if you feel very comfortable holding it for long.
It's made for people with hands half our size.
You're right. In fact, I took a picture.
It's for kids.
I took a picture of me using it that I'll put out.
If they do the Pokeball Plus XL, you know, I think that would be more appealing to me. But also, I'm not going to get this game. And if I did, I would probably play it with a pro controller because I'm lame.
So I don't know that you can play it with the pro controller. You can play it with the remotes because the catching a Pokemon is a throw motion.
You can still do that with a pro controller.
They asked us if we want, so they had pro controllers there.
Yeah.
And our demo choices were the Wii Motion. Oh, Wii Motion. Jeez. The
Wii Motion Plus.
Yeah, the Wii Motion Plus.
Yeah, but it's the dongle, not the built in. So you have to plug it in the bottom.
Our choices were the Pokeball Plus. To be fair, that's why I screwed this one up. And the Joy-Con. So they didn't say, like, oh, do you want to play with the pro controller? They're like, do you want Joy-Con or do you want the.
You probably put the water in.
I can't wait for the Pokeball Plus to get thrown at a bunch of TVs, and then they have to issue like little rubber condoms.
It's gonna be like the we have a problem. So yeah, actually, about that, it's got its own strap, which is a little bit different than the normal strap.
Yeah, I thought it was a little more comfortable actually.
And it's got like a little thumb ring, like a little ring you put on too to make sure you don't do that.
You had it on your thumb at first, but
and
then
he's
they
like,
told
no, go on your finger,
on your ring finger.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it makes more sense there. Like before you tighten the strap, it looks like it belongs on your thumb,
mm-hmm.
but then once you tighten the strap, it makes sense there.
I forgot that the little ring was on once I started playing.
Yeah,
it's you know, and I have big fat fingers, and it's just fit fine.
It's just like, no, we will not have the We Have a Problem equivalent for the for the Pokeball Go Plus. It just won't happen. It makes noise. It vibrates a lot. Like, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It is a functional control thing. It obviously has motion detection to the point where if you throw it wrong, it just goes off to the side and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can overthrow the Pokemon, which I think would be cool if that actually had value. Like, if it's farther away, you gotta throw
it. It seemed like it was more based on the timing to me.
It's totally based
than
on
the problem. Like, the extent of your motion or the direction.
The timing is about the likelihood of you catching it.
Mm-hmm.
So in Pokemon Go, it's all on the screen. So how you flick it. If you flick it to the side, it goes and you miss. And so that doesn't work super great because that feels really bad. Like, I threw this, I missed. Because I would rather it should be a button, but I'm not a target audience here, so I guess what I want doesn't matter.
Yeah, and possibly the motion is optional.
Maybe.
You can use the touch screen at least, because it's on the go.
Okay. Oh,
someone asked.
Oh, yeah, if you're playing on the Switch screen. Yeah, that makes sense.
Which makes it's an adaption of a touch screen control mechanism. So, like, I guess that makes sense. Pokemon Go Plus.
Hey, if you really like Pokemon Go, but wished it played more like a full video game and that it costs a lot more money.
Many times.
Yes, then here you go.
Now the good part about the Pokeball Plus that I really liked is that when you throw one, the Pokeball Plus reflects it, not just in the vibration and noise, but it lights up just like the TV show with the different colors, and then it's red, green, and then it goes down, and it's good again. Like, as a toy, that thing's really cool.
Yeah, it's a neat device. I don't know that I would want to play the game for long stretches with it, but that thing is cool.
Like, I think we'll find some weird alternate use for this thing, like for like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, like we can hack it and play other games.
I think two or three is going to be some other
Dark Souls, it's a Pokemon game, Pokemon
or some other game.
I was thinking it'd be amazing to watch someone try to do like Mario Odyssey with it, which you could probably pretty much do. I mean, you can play that game with one Joy-Con. So it's not, I mean, it has fewer buttons, but you could probably do a lot of things with it. It's got two buttons, yeah.
You
just have to click the joystick to jump.
Yeah. what's funny is, you would, it's A. What's funny is the game, the Switch seemed to recognize that as a different class of device.
Sure.
So when it was on, like, it had its own little weird icon.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
That thing's cool.
I
like that you can, you know, store Pokemon in it and then take it with you, keep it in your pocket.
Yeah, it turns into PokeWalker.
Yeah.
It's cool. Like, it's a neat idea. It's got some interesting gimmicks to it. I just don't know that it makes me want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just experiencing it, like, when it vibrates, it goes pretty hard. Mm-hmm. It's surprising.
It's probably HD Rumble. It's probably the same tech.
Yeah. Oh, it totally is. It feels surprising to use that first time, but I think that wears out pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we were able to play at Nintendo's booth, though. We have another appointment tomorrow, but we run a one-hour time limit. In terms of what media we're going to have up from this, no video from Pokemon, because the rules on that were nuts. We have a couple rounds of Smash going up, and we have, like, 20 minutes of Starlink. Like, we got a pretty beefy amount of time on that
one. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, as always, impressions will continue to go up on the website, NintendoWorldReport.com. You can look out for videos at the Nintendo World Report TV, NWR TV, whatever. I don't know. They can yell at me about the correct YouTube address for that.
NWR TV.
Okay. Yeah, I did it. And, of course, we'll have more audio stuff going up. I think there is an RFN recording in an hour. So I'll get to talk to the gentleman and John about what their thoughts were on the Nintendo Direct, and that'll probably go up. Probably, if you're hearing this, it's already up. Depends on Guillaume's sleep schedule. So,
Schedule is none.
I ain't doing it this year. We'll be writing impressions tonight, so you'll have some impressions up for the games we talked about, and as well as the ones we talked about earlier. And I don't know what the other guys have been up to. Maybe they've got some stuff too.
Yeah, as usual, we know the least about what's happening at E3.
Yeah.
While we're here.
Hey, if you see any cool games at E3, message us, because we don't know.
I have no idea what's happening on Treehouse Live. They might have shown Metroid Prime 4 at this point. I have no idea.
It's already out.
Oh,
they released it.
Shadow Drop.
Yeah. So, none of us have been to West Hall yet.
I did, but
oh, did you go?
Because I thought Sega was over there and I had to walk all the way back.
Oh no. That's the worst walk of shame.
Yeah.
Tall or south?
The other hall.
Oh yeah, south, yeah.
South, okay. I guess that's tomorrow. Is my first sojourn to South.
You're already fried. That's how you can read this.
It's fun.
Hey, shout out to the home team.
Yeah, they've been killing it.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us for today. Well, at least for now. The more audio might happen later. Is that a threat? Who knows? But, Mike, Johnny, thank you.
Word
thank
up.
You.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Peace.